All right, tell me a little bit about yourself. What are your hobbies? What are you passionate about? Where are you from?
Okay, Muhammad Hussein, 34 years old. I live in Dayton, Ohio. Originally from, my heritage is from East Africa, in the country that is called Somalia, although where I'm from is Somaliland, and that place is trying to get its own independence. I've lived in London, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, of course, Ohio. Some of the things I like doing is I like business. I like creating opportunities. I like helping people. That's actually pretty, the thing I like doing the most. I like helping people.
What are you passionate about?
I'm passionate about economics. I love economics. I love to see, some people say mathematics, one plus one is two, it makes you feel good, you know what the outcome is going to be, But I love the economic fact, economic angle of that. I mean, when you create an opportunity for somebody, you never know where that end of the road is going to be. Right now you start a company, you can hire a couple of people, that lady might have a kid, sustain herself, or that man might have a child or family, sustain himself from the opportunity you've created. And then that's his children and his progeny, let alone your own. You never know where that rabbit's gonna, what hole that the rabbit's gonna come out of. You might be, So I like economics. I like creating economic opportunities for people, especially Americans. We live here. Why is it that everything's not made? I mean, why is it, we need more things made here. New ideas start here. We need that kind of a focus right now. And I'm not xenophobic. I believe in global commerce. But at the same time, I think we need a better way to of doing things, and that's one of the reasons that drives me to create businesses, here.
I think like the same exact thing. Definitely need to have everything be built around here.
Yeah.
Spend way too much outside.
Outside, man. I can't count on outside. We can't count on outside. We cannot count on outside.
This is kind of outside the interview, but why did you choose Ohio as this final kind of spot?
Opportunity, law school. I went to law school here. I went to UD Law School. Got married. My wife's from here. And it may not be the last final spot, But right now things are working here, so,
Comfortable.
Not necessarily comfortable, just circumstantial, to be honest with you. And things are working here. A lot of the businesses that you see right now that we're creating aren't necessarily stuck to Ohio.
Yeah.
But they're based here. Our partners are here, Our investors are here. So.
That kind of leads me into something else.
Go ahead.
Where'd you go to college for your undergrad?
I went to three different places. I started off at East Carolina University in Greenville, North Carolina. I dropped out because I was making some money when I was 19 years old as a bell bondsman. And the way I got introduced to bell bonding was because I did an internship at a local startup bank, and the chairman of the bank was the guy who owned the bell bond company. So I'm a young guy. I see all these guys in white shirts, nice pants, nice cars, and I said, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to make money like them. So I dropped out of college. Didn't tell my parents. About a year and a half later, my parents found out. My dad's a chemical engineer. Went to school all his life. So he's expecting me to be, on the straight and narrow. And when he found out that I dropped out of school, he sent a coalition to come get me. Because at that point, my parents had moved to Pennsylvania. My dad had a new job up there. But they sent a real coalition to come get me. And in a period of a week, I had moved all my stuff. And I moved back home with where they were living in Pennsylvania. So,
Was being a bell bondsman working out?
yeah, I was making money. I was making good money at that age. Making like between 1,000 and 2,000 a week, making really good money.
Maybe you should have stayed there. That's not a
Maybe I
bad
should,
deal.
yeah, that's not a bad deal. You just sit there with a pager, but at the same time, it's a risky job.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do get shot at. Sometimes you're in a shady kind of a situation, So, and it's not where I wanted to end up, but at the same time, I was doing okay at that age, I wish I would have saved that money. That I was really having a good time.
All right, so you kept going to college.
Yeah, I went, after East Carolina, I went to Edinburgh University, Pennsylvania. in Erie, Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, where my family was living at that time. My dad was working for a good company, still working in the same place. And this is 1999, 2000, you know. And I graduated from Edinburgh University, Pennsylvania, you know. And shortly thereafter, I started my third education, which was being a Walmart manager, being a manager at Walmart. They recruited me after I graduated high school, or after I graduated Edinburgh with my bachelor's in business administration. And shortly thereafter, I started working as a manager in Edinburgh. You know, I was very blessed to get a job in Edinburgh. Economy wasn't as bad as it is now, but I worked for Walmart for about 4 years in multiple locations in Pennsylvania, Ohio, you know, in many different stores, managed many different types of people. And one constant that I saw was, especially since, you know, in the Erie, PA, there were a lot of manufacturing jobs, you know. And what had happened, just as, you know, we see here in the Rust Belt, a lot of older people spent all their lives in a manufacturing facility or two, you know, or displaced. So I was hiring a lot of people from the local community, and I would often kind of juxtapose, kind of compare and do a little bit of a contrast. What was going on in our communities to cause these hardworking people to have to come work at a place that's foreign to them, you know, in Walmart, outside of their realm, making X amount of dollars. And at that point, I started thinking about economics, you know. What can we do differently so that these types of things and problems don't happen again for our people and our local communities, you know. So when I say I went to college in East Carolina, Edinburgh, I think I learned so much at Walmart as a manager at Walmart. You walk around, you look at the labels, and you see that nothing's made there, you know, nothing, apart from the people who are there working. So after 4 years at Walmart, I decided I wanted to go change the world, so I went to law school and got accepted to a school here in Dayton, Ohio. And my dad and my mom, kind of coincidentally, got transferred to Dayton at the same time with their job. So everyone was here. And I graduated law school. Law school by far has to have been, in fact, the past 6 years of my life have to have been the most interesting, hardest, you know, learning experiences I've had in my life. You know, 3 years of law school and 3 years of dealing with a bad economy. You know, so, and that's during the time I started all these companies and things being working out.
So, when you went to law school,
mm-hmm.
What did you plan on doing with yourself when you got out?
I wanted to be a international lawyer. You know, I wanted to work for a multinational. You know, I wanted to do philanthropic work. You know what I mean? I wanted to do that kind of stuff. You know, I wanted to make $150,000, $200,000 coming out of law school, you know, and doing this and doing that, and being in corporate law, you know. But when I graduated, that's when I first came in. You know, I saw an opportunity for myself. And after being in law school and getting my butt whooped a couple times by the grades, you know, law school is really hard. You really got to work hard. I started to kind of shift focus and really understand that just like in any other business, the legal industry is a business, you know? You gotta be able to sell yourself. You gotta be able to sustain yourself. You gotta be able to have a pipeline set up for yourself, whether you work for yourself or for a big firm. And my perception changed a little bit. I said, well, you know, I'm coming out of this law school. My GPA is not the best in the world. I need to start having an alternative. So I started looking at the government at that point, you know, and saying to myself, maybe I should work for the government for a few years, kind of stabilize myself. And out of 300 people that were graduating, there was one day that we were in one class. It was dispute resolution class, I believe it was. And the teacher at the beginning of the semester asked, you know, this is at the end of our, like, 3 years in, so everyone kind of knew what they wanted to do. And the teacher asked, can you please, guys, tell us what you guys want to do with this degree when you graduate? I was the only one out of 50, 60 students that stood up and said, I actually want to work for government. I foresaw the economy was going to go to crap, you know? And that was my blessing. I was blessed by God for that, you know, opportunity. I was focused at my beginning of my third year to start applying for jobs with the government. And
Right after that,
yeah, I graduated in 2009. The crap crashed.
Now the hiring has been phased out.
Phased out. Things are really hurting. So, you know, I didn't think that I would be here but when I first started law school. But I'm here now, you know, and kind of my perception of the world changed. It was a learning experience.
You're not the only lawyer doing this.
Yeah, there's a lot of us. There's a lot of us. Yeah.
A lot of us.
There's actually a few of my friends that I told, hey, man, y'all better come on. You know, y'all better come on and jump on this. And some of them still practice law on the side, you know. But at the same time, some of them build businesses on the side, just like a lot of the MBAs who are here, so just like anybody who's here, you have to have some kind of side situation, and kind of my side situation is growing, and I'm here to talk to you about it.
This follows real well into the next question. Okay, so tell me more about the businesses that you're currently in, and what they kind of entail on your end.
All right, the businesses, there's multiple, but they're all web-based businesses right now. You know,
you can kind of rope them all in the same category, it seems like.
Somewhat, except for the clothing one. You know.
Yeah.
The pledge deals and the From Local, they're really focused on, they're focused on allowing smaller organizations who have a good subscriber base or a good viewership. You know, like pledge deals, for example, they work. That company is focused on public radio stations, you know, public radio NPR affiliates all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have big budgets, but they got big followers. You know, they in this community here right now, we have one that has about 10,000, 20,000 subscribers who are really passionate, who fund the radio station. And just like Groupon, this company, Pledge Deals, is focused on the group deal kind of concept, but it's going to be run and marketed by the public radio station. We charge them a small fee, a commission, per transaction, you know, and that's how we sustain ourselves. And out of that grew the From Local company, which kind of does the same thing, but it works for the coupon books, you know, the coupon magazines all over the country, and smaller cities, medium-sized cities. We all know them. They all come to our houses. You know, they got good followers. You know, you see that wife or mother or son or anybody opening up the magazine and cutting that coupon out for a new tire or for a meal that evening, right? So they got good recognition in their communities. A lot of them have been in business for a long time, 30 years, 20 years, 15 years, you know. But right now what's going on is with these national companies like the Groupons and the Coupons.com, they're coming into these markets and really a transition is occurring, you know, where these smaller companies are no longer able to compete. So what we've done is we've partnered up with a pretty big one in the state of Ohio, and they are actually partial owners of our company. We're building a whole digital mobile phone application system where they're able to offer the daily deals, the print coupons, and have everything on the go. You know?
So basically creating one thing led you into another thing,
yeah,
which happens a lot.
Right, it's my resume, right? You know what I mean? My resume was pledge deals, and it came to, it opened up the opportunity for the other one. Yesterday I got a call from a lady in New Zealand who saw my name somewhere and said, give me a call. They want to spend money doing this and this. And I've kind of become kind of an expert in this because I've had to really break my legs in developing systems like this. You know, I've had my education and now I'm trying to share it with other people. You know, but so that's our business. Again, I'm focused on local. You know, if I can get local companies acting like big companies, I'm good. I get paid, they get paid, everyone's happy. Helping our local people. Not everyone lives in Palo Alto, California, right?
Yeah.
We don't live in. Facebook ain't everywhere. You know, one or two. The reason why Zuckerman's founder of Facebook is a billionaire is because he so much control of the company is right there, right? You know, I see myself as a. I think we can do better than that. There's a better business model. We could all eat pretty good, you know. And this is not 1996, my friend, where the tech boom happened. And all those, everyone's wondering, well, how can I build my own eBay? You know, now the technology is widely accepted and known. not hard to recreate a system or to build a system from scratch. You know, it's not hard. We know where to go. We know how to do it. We have the money. Go ahead and do it. You know, now you can compete with the big boys. They don't have to come to your communities and, you know, totally shut you down. It doesn't work like that anymore. And that's what From Local is about. I can't curse, but it's FromLocal.com.
Yeah, it sounds something like similar to what I did a project on in college.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were doing, this is your interview, though. So
we're okay, gonna we'll talk about
it. We'll talk about it offline. But, this is all leading in really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, this isn't as important, but how did you develop the skill for the business you're currently in? Or do you even have the skill? Are you just learning it along the way?
Well, a lot of it had to do with growing up, you know. I grew up, my mom and dad were divorced. And my mom lived in England, and I grew up there. And my dad, he had come over here. And something about my dad and the house that when I was 11, I moved to America. And something about my dad was he had all the new technology, all the new computers, everything. So from a young age, I was around computers, making computers, working them. I didn't program, but, you know, and the tech boom occurred in the mid to, you know, 90s, and I was really involved in that. Had a lot of friends working, making companies and stuff, and I saw it back then. And one of the things I learned from that young age is keep it real, you know. If a business model is not going to work, it's easy to see. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. If you ain't going to be able to make money from it, then you shouldn't be doing it. If you can't estimate how much money you're going to be making and how it's going to sustain you, you know, then it's not a good idea. And along with, so I have a business background, but I have a tech background because I know what's capable, you know. And then at the same time, I have a sales background from my Walmart days. You know? And during my, actually, one thing I haven't told you about was during college at Edinburgh when I lived in PA, I worked for a telemarketing company. Now it may have been one of the best jobs I ever had because it forced me to have to talk to people all day on the phone and sell things, credit cards, financial instruments, right? So I got used to talking to people and selling things. You know, it was a good experience. May have not been the best job in the world, but it was a good experience.
Yeah.
So I have all these skill sets, you know, the technology, the business background. A little bit of luck. You have to have luck. You know, sometimes it's nice to have a friend or two, you know, people who support you, you know, whether they be family or just friends. And then you have a product. If you got a product that you can sell, the best. Do the best job that you can do. Put your heart into it. I like doing these things. You know, I like setting things up.
I like that. Okay. So, you've kind of already talked to it, but the business you're currently in, was it your first attempt at being an entrepreneur?
No. I mean, Homme Couture, it wasn't my first attempt.
Do you have something even earlier than what you've discussed?
Yeah. When I was in high school, okay. I used to do two things. When I was in high school, I used to cut grass for people on the weekend. And I also I created this little company. It was called Bubbly Tech Services or something like that. And I was only 15, but I had gotten a telephone number for myself and business cards. And I was going around to people's houses. But my dad didn't know that I did that. You know, so he comes home one day to the bill for $200 for a telephone line additional in the house. I had a lot of trouble, but you know, the grass cutting business was going good, so I could pay for it.
Yeah,
you know, so that was it, man. You know, along the way I've had businesses and my family's had businesses too. My family ran a trucking company, and I was the one who's given the task of setting up the office. You know, they had big trucks. They had big, you know, 4 or 5 big semis and 10 employees. So it was my job to come in and set up the processes and find the best software that, you know, my mom could run. My stepmom's over here. I call her mom, too. She could run the company during the daytime. And so that was a good experience, too, you know, setting up the company. What kind of regulatory requirements are needed for a trucking company? What kind of insurance do you need to have? How do you even get loads, you know? That kind of process. So
So would you consider any of those initial attempts failures, or just you stopped them because you moved on with life kind of situation?
Some of them were failures, you know, and I still fail, you know, but I don't stop. Some of them were failures, you know. Even in my own businesses right now, I'm dealing with some ideas of failures. And yeah, you fail miserably. Sometimes I fail miserably. One time I wanted to make a company that was buying wholesale clothing for Macy's, you know. And for one reason or I put my own money, I got family money, didn't go anywhere because we just didn't have the market. I realized from there that you have to have a market to sell your stuff. You just can't get stuff and put it on the internet and expect to sell it. You know what I mean? Macy's has a wholesale division that you can buy clothes from at pretty good prices. And, you know, it's something that one of my legal employers, I did an internship for this older African American attorney named Alvarine Owens. She was really hardcore. She used to really be hardcore to her interns, put us through the grinder. But that experience, when I worked for her a few summers ago, she said to me something very, very interesting, and it sticks with me till today. You got to have a pipeline. Okay? You can have all the oil in the world, but until you have a pipeline to transport it, to get it to market, you ain't going to get nowhere. You know what I mean? Don't put yourself in a situation where you have, even if you have gold, if you don't have somewhere to sell it, transport it and sell it, that stuff is worthless. So sometimes you gotta work backwards, man. You know, gotta have a pipeline. You know what I mean? I have a lady who came to me and said she wants a customized chocolate website so that she can sell customized chocolate. People select their flavors. You know what I mean? And then it goes from, I said, listen, yeah, what's the market you're trying to sell it in? You know, Cleveland, Ohio, ain't gonna work. And I won't take your money to make this system. Now, if you came and said, I want to make a chocolate website that has reasonably priced chocolate, right? And it's not custom, maybe we could do something. She didn't have her pipeline together. She didn't have her logistics together. She didn't have her production together, you know? She just had $20,000 for a web system. I said, why would I take your money, you know? So people have to have a pipeline, have to have a plan. How are you going to sell it, you know? And I think that's very important.
That's a good one. We're gonna be that's gonna be a big focus of this when I go back to write all this up.
All right.
Questions start to get a little bit tougher now.
All right.
What do you think's made you successful in the last couple of years with the last few businesses you've been doing?
Support, people, friends, support, you know what I mean? Support, you know, and desperation. Desperation. My wife doesn't work. She's been looking for a job for a while. And before that, she was in PhD program. So there was only one income, you know? And every time, I'm always a problem solver. And I always come up. And that's why I said the past 6 years have been really hard on me. 3 years I was in law school. 3 years I've been married in a one income kind of household. You got a mortgage, you got responsibilities. And desperation is a mug. Makes you do things, makes you think differently. And luckily for me, it's opened up a creative side. You know what I mean? Being able to create and communicate with people. So going back to your question, what was the specific question again?
What's made you successful in these last couple?
Yeah, so what's made me successful? I built some good relationships with people. My best friend from law school is my best friend today. I think we'll be best friends forever so long as we stay true to each other. But he's been a point of contact for me.
So you couldn't do it on your own?
Technically, I can, and I did. But I realized that I can do it better with other people around me. You know? And that's actually, I think, a good point for people. Don't try to do everything yourself. It's a waste of time, number one. You drive yourself to working too much. And number two, who's going to carry your legacy? You know what I'm saying? Something happens to you, you want to walk away, you know, that's a good idea. So long as your contracts are in place that allows you to have some type of control or allows you to do what you need to do, you know, the relationships are contractually bound. So there's a court of law, a rule of law that says if this happens to somebody, you know, if we don't get along, if we become enemies in the future.
Some LLC or
LLC,
confederation.
confederation, operating agreements, you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? So that's very important, but I couldn't have done it on my own.
Okay. We'll get back to that a little bit later on.
Okay. Can we split this in half?
Yeah, I go.
And I'm just going to go double check. Nobody's looking for me. You know who I work for.
All right, second half of the interview. We left where you're successful in business. What fears do you have about being an entrepreneur? But also, what excites you?
Okay. First of all, the fears that I have are not being able to fulfill my commitments. You know, when you're into business, when you're doing business, whether you be Sam Walton or whether you be that guy who has the little grocery store or a little fruit stand on the side of that, you know what I mean? Not being able to take care of my customers. And in this sense here, I got two customers. I have the companies that use our system, and I have the customers who are buying the vouchers, the coupon codes, you know what I mean? Using our systems to save money. So, you know, those are fears. I have real fears. And when you're dealing with a tech company, you have multiple issues. You can have technical issues, you can have hackers, you can have viruses, you can have privacy issues, legal issues, you know? Mm-hmm. So those are the problems. And I think those are real problems. Now, what excites me is this thing's about to work. This thing's working. Oh my God, we're making it. You know?
Does the money excite you? Does the
No.
bigger thing excite you?
I think it's the independence that excites me, you know? And the ability. These are the first couple companies that I want to do, you know, and try to get things off the ground, right? But my hope and my dream is the independence to be able to do what I want to do. Like right now, we're bootstrapping everything. Everything's a bootstrap. You know, we have small budgets. You have that. That's really how much money you have. You know, that's your budget for real. You can't make mistakes. I want to be able to fudge things in the future, be able to make mistakes and still keep on going the direction that we need to go to, and be comfortable in the process. We're not very comfortable in the process right now because you have a limited budget, you know? You have a limited level of trust with the customers that use your system, you know? They accept you, you have a contract, yeah, but at the same time, you have to produce for them to get you off the ground. And I've been very lucky to have partners as the radio stations that we work with and the direct marketers that we work with who are actually quite good. So it excites me to be able to see a successful idea or a good idea coming to a successful reality. You know, it's a real thing. And the money, of course. We make good money from it, hire people, have a good structured situation. That's nice. They're good things, right?
Let me ask you one of my final questions right now. I'm going to re-put this up here just because it sounds like it would flow right now.
Okay.
What's your final goal with this pursuit? Where do you see yourself being?
I want to be in Africa.
Okay.
My final goal is to be in Africa. And I come from the poorest country in the world. You know what I mean? And I want to be able to make a difference for young men and women right here in America. You see, I'm doing it, you know? But if that model works here, then we can use that same model over there, okay, and connect two places.
So you kind of want to be financially independent and able to, instead of having to build business for yourself,
mm-hmm.
provide a means for other people.
Yeah, that's something very important to me. That's something that is very important to me. I see an opportunity. I mean, why is it that we're only as Americans buying our stuff from, you know, the set players that are there right now? You know, good thing is the government has, since you know the past 10 years, has had programs in East Africa through the African Growth and Opportunity Act that has good trade deals with some of the poorest places in the world. So if you right now wanted to go to, let's say you wanted to go to Tanzania, all right, East Africa. Some of the most beautiful beaches in the world are in Tanzania. They got great fishing, right? Say today you wanted to go to Tanzania and start a fishing, bagging and processing and bagging company, right? Where, you know, these Ziploc bags, these vacuum sealed bags with like the tuna fish on it.
Throw it in the freezer.
So yeah. There's a young lady that did that a few years ago. She took her stuff to a trade show in Boston. Every year there's a fish trade show in Boston, right? They're twice a year, or whatever it is. And there's another one in Las Vegas. Went there. All the big companies that buy fish and meat. They show up there, and they had a big contract with her because she had everything in place. She had the FDA or the USDA. I don't know who inspects fish, but she already had that process taken care of. She had a nice clean facility. You know, I want to create opportunities like that. You know, I want to create opportunities like that. That brings that reality that I know into a better situation, and we're able to realize it here too. But in order to do that, you have to have a good backbone. You know, you have to have a good resources. And this is just one example. There's lots of opportunities in East Africa. East Africa is different from West Africa. It's different from North Africa. It's different from South Africa. It's just like doing business in Poland or doing business in Lithuania, two different countries. You know, doing business in Louisiana is different from doing business in Alaska. You know, it's a different situation. Here is a little more uniform because at least there's a federal government. You know. Over there, there's a lot of different differences, and I see opportunity in East Africa. So I'm trying to set myself up and my family to be doing stuff in East Africa, but I have to be successful here to do it. You know? That's my long term.
Okay. Back to the fear. Mm-hmm. That's entrepreneurship. I mean, obviously, you've overcome that with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're moving forward.
Yeah, I got stuff going, yeah.
What's the main factor driving you over that hurdle?
The opportunity. The companies I deal with reach 1 million people every day.
I kind of feel like you almost just said it. Your real motivation is for a better future.
Yeah, it is for a better future.
Okay.
Not just for me, though.
Yeah, and that's something, I think it's important. You can't really just have it be for yourself.
Going back to what you said earlier, why Ohio? You know? I live here, and I see good people here. I see us, we're hurting, you know? And we're hurting because people have let systems break down and go away and be bought out, and we're left here standing aback, you know? And there are a lot of people like me who see what's going on and have seen what's been happening for the past 20, 30 years, you know what I mean? Slowly by slowly.
Yeah.
But now it's time for us to, as people, and citizens of a country, who pay taxes in a country, you know, to demand more from the politicians, but also demand more from ourselves. We need to start thinking about innovation. I deal with software, but some people deal with manufactured goods, you know?
It's all linked together.
It's all linked together. It's an economy, you know? You ever play a game like Rise of Nations or Civilization, or these computer games we've built little countries or whatever? Right?
I have it all.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to have, you gotta have the wood, you gotta have the water, you gotta have the fire, you gotta have that stuff. So we need all types of people, and what I'm telling you is, what motivates me is to see my system work. And I'm really, my name and my company is From Local. Can't get any more local than that. It's gotta come from here, homie. You know?
Yeah. We'll talk about the business idea ahead. Right. It's like almost the exact same thing.
All right, cool. Let's talk about it.
All right. Later, though. Let's do this. Let's stay on track here. Okay. Back to what we were talking about, what's driving you over that hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
Does that create motivation, or is there something else motivating you? Where do you find that motivation?
It's a combination, you know. Let's go back to the day of Rome, all right? They had a sewage issue. They had a problem with sewage, you know. People were dying. New York City, early 1900s, late 1800s, late 1800s. They had a problem with sewage, right? Somebody saw the multiple solutions to it, you know. Some guy invented toilet paper, so the aristocrats up in Manhattan could use toilet paper, right? Some guy said we need to have a sanitation system, so they did it. Some guy who, you know, a man of God, I think, came in and set up systems so that the poor people understood the benefits of cleanliness. Some of the politicians, they saw an opportunity and said, you know, we can lay our whole political career on sanitation and make, you know, help people live. So it's a combination of opportunity, desperation, really sad, bad situations, really good situations, ideas, you know? So I think for me, it's the same thing. There's multiple reasons. You know, for me, it started off as, oh man, we got to make some extra money somehow, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, we got to, you know, come up with ideas and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then at the same time, oh, I got a great idea. Let me implement it. And I got somebody else who bought into the idea. And then I have a customer who said, I love the idea. You know, so it's a combination. Who's also desperate and in kind of a desperate situation, looking for a solution. When I was 7 years old, I used to go to the library in London, near Woodbury Down Primary School, near Finsbury Park. That's where I used to live. I used to walk to the library. I used to open the door and used to sit on a Saturday, just sit there and look at the picture books about the inventors, like Leonardo da Vinci. And I always said, I want to be like that. I want to invent things. And now I am. I'm coming up with ideas. I'm inventing things, you know, inventing new solutions to big problems. And I think every entrepreneur, the successful ones, they come up with solutions to problems, or they find an issue for themselves that allows them to serve customers who need solutions to problems.
Interrupted by a phone call. Okay, you have any emotional barriers?
Yes. That's one of the reasons why I have other people involved, okay? I know what I'm good at. I'm good at selling and coming up with ideas.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. So emotional barriers?
Yes.
Going back to what I said earlier, I know what I'm good at. It took me a long time to come to terms with what I'm good at, okay? I'm not good at the processes where we... Like, I'm not good at the administrative stuff. You know, I'll lose a check, man. You know what I mean? I'm not good at that. I'm not good at keeping paperwork in order and doing that. I know how to get people to buy into an idea. I know how to create an idea. And I know how to make something look good. But so bringing my best friend in or bringing my partner in or bringing somebody in, I'm always bringing people in that kind of balance me out, mm-hmm. and who I can listen to and... who are on equal footing with me, you know, someone who I trust and I respect in business or whatever it is. And that's what I've done for a lot of these companies. I bring people in who balance me out. You got to balance yourself out. Some people are really good at everything, you know. Bill Gates wasn't good at everything. Bill Gates was good at the computer stuff, or I don't know if he was good at the computer stuff or the other guy was good at computer stuff, but there was a balance, you know what I'm saying? Apple, same thing. One was a good programmer, the other one was a good business guy.
Yeah.
You know? That's I think, being able to know what you're good at and what you're not good at, and your limitations, whether they be financial, you got to have that system set up. So emotionally, I'm not ready to... I failed. I failed how many times? Until I realized what I'm telling you right now. I can't do everything.
That's a good answer. Yeah. That's a really good answer.
Like that?
Yeah. All right. I feel like I can almost skip this one.
Okay.
The question was going to be, how have partnerships and business worked out for you thus far? It sounds like they've worked.
They've worked, but we always have contracts in place, bro. Even with my wife.
Really?
No doubt. If there's a divorce...
That's kind of like a lesson learned.
Yeah, you got to have things on paper.
How did you learn that lesson?
I got burned.
From what?
The clothing business. There was no contract. You know, the trucking business, there was no contract, employment or operating agreement. And that company made about $1 million. But then the family fight occurred. What happens when there's a family fight? People don't talk to each other for a while. Things get, disillusionment sets in. The money gets divided angrily versus in order. Right. And a lawyer comes in, he doesn't know how to handle things because everything's kind of like, oh, I hate you, I love you, oh, let's make up, you know?
Yeah.
So get rid of all that stuff and, you know, make sure you have contracts in place, you know, even with your friends, man.
So it's kind of a personal question. I can choose not to put this in the interview, but what's the most money you've lost in something like this?
5 G's, personally.
It's not bad.
It's not bad, man. I know really people who've lost a lot more money.
Yeah.
I haven't had a lot to work with for a while, but 5 G's, I've lost it. Had to eat it. Had to make up to somebody. But I lost that money. Understand what I'm saying?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Good.
Two more questions.
Okay.
Now, do you think you could be motivated by yourself? Or do you think that having those people beside you
You know,
really is your backbone?
no, I'll tell you this. I believe in God, okay? And I'm not the best. I'm not the most pious, and I'm far from it, you know? But one thing for sure that I know for sure that without him, I wouldn't be here right now, you know? And if you don't turn to him, it's harder. Life is harder. That's at least my personal opinion, you know? Again, it's nice to have guidance from a power beyond all of this.
So the way you see it is you're never really by yourself.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we're ever alone. And I've had situations occur happen to me. That's the truth, man. Things happen, man. It can't be by chance. You know, some things just can't be by chance. It's impossible. I don't believe it. So when you add that into the mix, also, you gotta have someone. You say, listen to this. The concept of doing it by yourself or whatever, you know, it's novel. But the reality is, you gotta have someone you're selling to. You know, even that customer, even if you've made it on your own, you really haven't made it on your own. Someone had to give you a chance to buy from
Yeah.
you. You know, it's difficult, but I don't know if it works every single time. For your own personal growth, yeah, you could think about things. You know, I can do it, and I know I can get there. But in retrospect, I think it really is important to realize that there are things bigger than you, and you know, be thankful for what you have. And you really can't make it. I've tried to make it by myself for so long, man. And I just, even right now, you know, it's just not easy. And I really sincerely think that people should get used to the idea of you're not alone. Don't be alone. All right. Stop there.
It's good.
You like that?
I mean, you go elaborate. That's good. One more thing. Have you always seen yourself being an entrepreneur?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay.
Whether an entrepreneur or, like I told you, an inventor, you know, I always wanted to do that. Went to law school because I read To Kill a Mockingbird, and I thought Atticus Finch, who was, you know, the little girl's dad, I thought he was a cool guy. But you know, along the way, I went to law school. I'm a lawyer, not licensed to practice yet. I don't know if I'm even gonna take the bar, but I always thought I was gonna be something like this, you know, coming up with solutions and bringing people together. And it's been working out so far, man.
So it's not a part of you that you think just could have been created, it's just always been with you.
Yeah, somewhat. Well, I think the skill set, you gotta build it up.
Yeah.
I didn't have the, yeah.
But the itch.
Yeah, the edge. I'm built that way, maybe. But at the same time, you've had blind people. You motivate, you know, Helen Keller. You know, she was deaf and blind, right? The story of Helen Keller. She motivated how many people to. There was books written about her. I don't know if she wrote books for herself. Who would have thought that person would have ended up where they are, in such high esteem in our society? So, I don't know if things are predetermined like that. You know, I think we gotta work hard for it. Everything I gotta work hard for it. Who said that? I think that was Wu-Tang Clan. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think we gotta work hard for it. I think, or work for it. I don't think anything comes free apart from the people who win the lottery. You know what I'm saying? Even for them, they can lose it if they don't work hard at it.
That's a good starting point.
Yeah, all right, man. I'm glad to do this interview.
You got any final thoughts?
Don't give up. People are going to try to beat you down, tell you you can't do it. Sometimes you just got to go to the Wile E. Coyote, you know, back to the drawing board. But don't give up, you know. Even if you're 60 years old, try again, you know. If that's your dream, make yourself happy. So that's it, man. And live where you want to live, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.